I'm Bill Littlefield. Once upon a time, well, it was just back in February, I sat right here and talked about a happy ending for a story involving a 5-year-old boy named Murtaza Ahmadi. He'd cried because his family couldn't buy him a soccer jersey with the name and number of his favorite player, Lionel Messi, who happens to be my favorite player as well. Murtaza's older brother made him a Lionel Messi shirt out of a plastic bag, and Murtaza stopped crying. And then, when Messi and UNICEF saw a picture of the plastic bag jersey, they sent a few real jerseys and lots of other stuff to Murtaza and his family. A few months later, the little boy and his family were forced to leave their home in Afghanistan after being threatened by the Taliban. But there was a happy ending. Murtaza was flown to Doha, Qatar, where Barca was playing a friendly on December 13th. Murtaza was greeted by his hero and, for a time, refused to leave Messi's side. The two friends had finally met. There are places in this world where games aren't just games, and athletes have the power to be more than just pixels on a television screen. Another one of those places is just across the Pakistani border from Afghanistan in Waziristan. That's where Maria Torpakai grew up. Her sport is squash. As a youngster, her hero was Jonathan Power, a Canadian who in 1999 became the first North American squash player to be ranked number one in the world. Maria Torpakai tells her story in her own words.
If I didn't have squash, still I would say, my father is a brave man. I'm his daughter. I'm strong. I have faith in Allah. And I'm a good human being. And when you are a good human being, everything happens good to you. You know, when I was 2 years old, I could see the happiness in boys' faces and more glow. But most of the women are just no one, you know. They are just like shadows. And from young age, they are told to cover themselves and not to go anywhere and just stay home, look after their younger brothers or siblings. You're going to get married, you know, you have to learn all those things. I thought, you know, maybe it's the difference is because boys have different clothes than girls. So then I took all my girly dresses and I took it to the backyard and I burned them when I was 4 and a half. It just felt so much freedom after burning those clothes. I was standing there by the fire in my older brother's clothes. I saw my father and he didn't say anything. But when I looked at him, he just smiled and he said, well, I have a fifth son now. He called me Genghis Khan, which is like Genghis Khan, the greatest warrior. I was always very strong and I thought that no one is stronger than me. Sometimes when I hear some other guy's reputation very strong, I would go by the fields, by the mountains to another village and find that guy and, you know, challenge him. And whether they were, you know, playing soccer or cricket or, you know, marbles or flying kites or wrestling, I just pushed the guys and got my spot in the middle of sports. I had nowhere to go, you know, when I am 12 years old, and my father was really, really worried about my future. What am I going to do with this child? She's very aggressive and she wants to live just like boys do. But, you know, I'm growing up, and I'm a girl, I should stay home. One day he found me in the middle of a huge fight with some guy and he hit me with a brick on my head. And my dad dragged me home and I got, you know, 12, 13 stitches. My father was deep in thinking what to do with this kid. And then he realized that people play sports in Peshawar. He took me to the sports stadium next day and there was a guy sitting on a chair. My father was like, he said, I want to introduce my son into some sport. And he said, well, he looks very strong and I can train him for weightlifting. You know, it would be really good. I trained really hard and I became really strong and I got into more fights after that because I thought I'm more stronger now. I went to a national championship, weightlifting championship, and I won that with the name of Genghis Khan again because nobody knew that I was a girl and I didn't look like one. After that, when I come back, I can just keep lifting the weights, but I don't see further competitions and I want a challenge. when I saw squash, I thought that's my next challenge. And I really wanted to play that sport because it was beautiful glass court. You dive and you jump. So I just loved the idea. When I told my dad I want to play squash, he was really happy with my decision because he thought, you know, now I'm going to hit the wall rather than hitting people. There is a proper squash academy, and he took me there. And he asked what we should do for squash, and, you know, my son wants to play squash. Director Squash Academy, he said, definitely, we will give membership to this kid. You have to bring the birth certificate first. My father got a little nervous, and then he told him that, well, actually, this is my daughter, and her name is Maria Turpekai. That guy just stared at me in amazement. First thing, he just couldn't believe that I'm a girl. And then second, he was so happy that, you know, finally a girl is coming to play sports. And especially being from tribal region, this was exceptional. This was an exceptional thing. Right away, he gave me a gift, a squash racket, Jonathan Power Signature Series. Everything changes when the people came to know about me, I'm a girl. All the boys, they used to bully me, men and kids, everyone, and the shopkeepers that I used to go and bring groceries from them. Now I'm unable to do anything, and just they're trying their best to harass you, like, you know, in a very inappropriate way, too. So I thought, you know, what has changed? I'm still the same person. You call me Genghis Khan, you call me Maria, I'm the same person. What has changed? First thing, I'm strange. Second, I being looking like a boy is un-Islamic. You know, when you pretend to be a boy is also un-Islamic. When you have short hair, this is un-Islamic. When you not cover your head, this is un-Islamic. When you play sports, this is un-Islamic. I'm like, what should I do? Like, that's the only place I had left. I didn't know where to go. When I first started squash, it was really good competition. But then when they heard about me, I'm a girl, some boys would come stand by the squash court and, you know, do some, like, inappropriate gestures. When I started beating them in a match, they would all the guys would laugh at that guy and he would never play with me again. So I just felt not to play with any boy and just hit by myself. I was entered into a under-13 junior championship. I had short hair. I'm like really strong and big kid, and everybody's just staring at me, and you know, and the meetings and looking at me, and then they were like, "She's a girl or not? She doesn't look like a girl." And then I said, "Well, if you think I am, you know, I shouldn't play in girls, then I will play in boys, and I'll beat them." But then finally, they provided the birth certificate, and I played under-13 event, and I won that championship, the first one. And every time I win a match, the girl would go outside the squash court and cry so much and say, "You guys made me play with a boy." I got really good in squash. I used to play for 9-10 hours a day, and even my arms were bruised, but I just kept playing for hours and hours and creating my own squash drills because I didn't have any partner to train with. There was kind of fire that I don't want to lose to anyone, and I want to show them, I want to win that, you know, championship. And I was under 14 that I became national champion. When I turned pro in 2007, you know, I performed really well on international, like, tournament with the senior players. You know, I came to the quarterfinal of a big tournament in Egypt. When I was given awards by the prime minister, all of a sudden, and all those things, all over news. So that was the time, also the peak time for Talibanization, when you hear a lot of bomb blasting, killing, kidnapping, just every day. And I've seen it with my own eyes, you know, people dying. And being a Pashtun girl, being a daughter of Waziristan, coming from their own tribe, as Talibans are, I got the threats from Taliban. My family was threatened to death. It was another tough time for me. I didn't know what to do now. For a while, I didn't play squash, and then I would thank the Pakistani government at that time who provided me undercover security around my home, all the way to the squash court. But I thought it's very dangerous. I don't want to be the reason for the innocent kids to die. that's why I just decided that I'm not going to play squash. It was heartbreaking for me. And then I see all the girls playing, performing, and I'm the one who has also really good skills and really good, but cannot just compete and cannot do anything. I knew that, you know, I'm not going to give up. And when you don't give up, then the nature has to listen to you. The nature, some people say God, some people say energy, that had to listen to me. I couldn't stop. I just had a racket and ball in my hand and, you know, kept hitting by the wall of my room. For 3.5 years, I just kept doing it. And my father, he could see my suffering and he could see my passion. He just told me that, you know, if I want to play squash, I have to leave this country. I kept emailing to every club, to every academy, to every school, college, wherever I can find, you know, offering them my service as a part-time coach, but also I'm asking them to give me time so I can train myself and play tournaments. After 3.5 years, I got a message from one person, and that was Jonathan Power. He was the one who came to me, who helped me in the toughest time of my life. That day, I believed that it's a destiny from God, because my first squash racket was Jonathan Power Signature Series. And then after 9-10 years, that's the man who comes to give me a hand of help, you know. It made my faith more stronger that I'm in the right path. I'm not the one who is dishonorable. I'm not the one who has done anything shameful. It was written for me, and I think it's a destiny. It's from Allah. Today, I tell all those people who think that I have done anything un-Islamic, if anyone have any questions, go and ask God, not me.
Maria Torpakai lives in Canada and trains at the Power Squash Academy. Her book is called A Different Kind of Daughter. Our story was produced by Karen Given. You're listening to Only a Game from NPR.